So I have some Santa thoughts, but before I get into those Santa thoughts, I want you guys to know that as of 2015, I'm going to say, maybe 2014, my adult human wife did not know that reindeer were actual creatures on planet Earth.
Oh, wow.
So she threw out the reindeer out with the Santa water.
She thought my wife.
Also, this episode brought to you by Santa Water.
If you're out there, please sponsor us.
High electrolytes and Christmas spirit.
So anyway, I think I need a new
I want to make fun of her, but also, like, I wonder, like, it's like almost like a there before the grace of God go, I think, where I go, hey, that could have been me, man. I believed a lot of weird stuff in my adult life, man.
So, on Santa...
climate change?
Hey, dads and non-dads, welcome to the Hey Dad Podcast. This is a podcast where three brothers...
Hey!
And one guy who wishes he was our brother...
Hey.
Talk about dad stuff.
And sometimes non-dad stuff.
We felt like the portrayal of dads in pop culture didn't really represent us or our friends very well, so we decided to start a podcast to talk about what dad life is really like for us.
Before we get into today's episode, I wanted to give a little update. A few weeks ago, we aired our Thanksgiving episode in which I shared a horror story from last year's Thanksgiving when we almost burned down my wife's parents' house. Since then, a bunch of you have written in or asked, how did it go? And I am happy to report that there were no fires, no near-death experiences, other than the time that Kelly jokingly referred to her mom as a nasty woman and she 100% did not get the reference and thought that Kelly was trying to pick a fight with her. It went pretty well. So thanks for your thoughts and prayers. I'll have to report back after Christmas or the new year and let you know if we're still in the family come 2018. But for now... on to the rest of the holidays.
So welcome to our holiday episode. Being a dad during the holidays is awesome. Every family sort of has their own version of the holidays and even different holidays that they're celebrating, but kind of seems like a lot of the fun and a lot of the struggles are the same no matter what you're celebrating. So that's what we're going to talk about today. But before we get into this, Tyler has a little warning. Go ahead, Ty.
So serious.
Tyler, tell him your warning.
Tyler has something really important.
I'd like to warn you about the holidays.
Hey, can everyone just cool it for a second? Tyler's got a warning.
Just quick warning.
Drag this out. Please drag this out.
Quick. So, I mean, we like to keep things relatively PG around here at the Hey Dad Podcast. Obviously, this
he
is
means
a
80s PG, so 80s I dropped PG. 3 F-bombs.
80s PG, which means we could have smoking. you know, we're obviously talking about family life, talking about dad life. Every once in a while, we'll have an episode where we talk about some things that maybe are just for, you know, the dads or the dads and the moms. This is one of those episodes where maybe if you're listening in the minivan on a little road trip to grandma's house, you know, maybe skip to the next one.
I also feel like if we really wanted to guarantee that a dad listened to the whole episode, like that's a really good warning to put at the beginning. And let me just say, Dad, you're probably going to be disappointed about the reason why we included that warning.
Yeah. Yeah. This podcast is not sexy at all.
It's not as exciting as you want it to be. So in our family, the culmination of the holidays, the thing that sort of everything builds to is Christmas. And specifically the best part of Christmas is our oldest son, Gideon, who's 5 years old, is like the physical manifestation of Christmas spirit.
Mm-hmm.
He, I don't know if you've seen the Jim Carrey version of The Grinch, which if you haven't,
just the best.
Turn the podcast off and go watch that right now. But they have this concept of the holiday cheermeister, which is basically like the person that loves Christmas the most. And that's what we refer to Gideon for like 2 months of every year. It's just the holiday cheermeister.
Because
he's just like bouncing around the house. We do this tradition every year where we put the other kids to bed. And then Gideon gets to stay up late and decorate the house with my wife and I. And he gets out every ornament, every decoration, like it's the most beautiful, meaningful gift that's ever been given to him. And it's the first time he's ever seen it. And he's just like, Dad, I remember this ornament from last year. This was an ornament you made when you were a kid. And then he'll tell me that whole story with the most adorable smile on his face and then like hug me and tell me I'm his best friend and then do the whole thing over again. And it's just like – 90 minutes of like pure unadulterated joy that I look forward to all year.
I never want him to lose that. It's so good.
So I think for most kids, it's like all about the presents that they're actually going to open, like whatever holiday you're celebrating, even though for Gideon, it's like the whole vibe. It's everything. And so in talking to like other dads about the holidays that they're celebrating, it seems like presents and how the expectation and reality and all of the things around presents seems to be like a defining positive or negative of like everybody's holiday experience. So like, where are you guys at on like guiding principles around presents and holidays?
I'm glad you asked that, because here's kind of where we're at. And this definitely, I think it reared its head when we had our daughter, because I don't think you can actually predict what kind of Christmas parent you're going to be until you actually are thrown in the fire.
Right? Yeah, right? Totally. Totally.
So
the Christmas fire.
The Yule log.
Have you guys seen The Christmas Fire? It's great. Yeah. Kirk Cameron's in it. You'll love it. There's
Christmas Fire was Slayer's last album, I think. Is that right?
So, like, we had our girls, and I never would have guessed this, because I feel like we're both generally pretty positive people, cheerful people, especially around the holidays. We like Christmas, you know? Amy became like a high roller in a casino. Like, the joy she gets from getting our kids gifts, and like multiple gifts, and like a lot of gifts, it's great. And it's like infectious, and I love it. But I feel like the inverse of that is that I'm kind of forced to kind of tamper it down or wait.
So you have to be this like miserly.
I'm the counterbalance, and I don't want to be the counterbalance. I would much rather have me be the nice parent who wants to, you know.
You used to be bad Christmas cop.
It's become a game of good cop, bad cop. And Amy, if you're listening, I'm sorry, but you know this is true. Like, she loves it, and like she'll look at Amazon and toy like 2-3 months before and start putting together ideas and lists. And like, I'm always the one. I hate being this guy who's like, isn't that a little too much for the kids?
Well, and it's funny because your wife, you know, is an accountant and like usually runs a pretty strict budget.
It's a very strict budget.
But once a year.
For Christmas. Apparently it points to Christmas.
We've talked about this. There's something about holidays in a family where like all bets are off.
I would become like, she would be this like, well, I bought them another toy train and I bought them pajamas and I also bought Atlee a dollhouse. And Atlee, if you're listening, that's not true. We didn't buy you a dollhouse.
And it's like, and Derek, I got you a second job.
Yeah, I got you a second mortgage on our house.
Derek, I sold your car. I'll be like walking.
But the counterbalance to that is I become like a sharecropper in a John Steinbeck novel. I'm like, no, we're going to get our kids an orange and a stocking each, and they will cherish it and love it forever.
There's gifts that you can get where somebody didn't drop like a significant chunk of change to give it to you, but it was a gift that for sure said, I get you. I just want to like hug my Uncle Dave every time I think of this moment where it's Christmas and there were some cool gifts that you got that you asked for, that you wanted. He gave me a gift that I didn't know that I wanted, but then it just, I don't know, like I realized much, much later in life, like, man, that was really cool. I definitely appreciated it as a kid, but even more so now, as an uncle and as a dad, I opened up it was a big old softball trophy that my uncle had sawed off the top of the trophy, and he had put a green Lego base plate on top of the trophy. And I'm a big fan of Legos, and it was a
big
gift.
Big fan of Legos, and also the type of kid that how do I put this?
Wasn't good at sports?
Didn't get a lot of trophies.
a lot of participation trophies. Yeah. So it met two needs, really. The genius of this gift was that it was full of possibility. I could build anything, and I could put it on top, and that Lego set that I built would be featured as this like major accomplishment. And it was basically a window into Uncle Dave's soul. But he looked at me and he was like, "All right, I get Andy, I get what he's about, and he's not even asking for this, but I'm gonna make him something that just says, you're really cool and I like you, and I'm gonna make a gift that just works for who you are. And I still think about that, and that's, it brings a smile to my face. I'm like, man, Uncle Dave, just the best dude.
For me, like, I'm one of those people that, like, I don't really care about receiving gifts that much. And then the inverse of that is, like, I'm really bad at giving gifts, especially to people who, like, care about giving gifts or receiving gifts. But for me, and it sounds, I don't know, it sounds almost like anecdotal as an adult now, but, like, truly when I think about what was the best things about Christmas, like, it's the memories for me. Like, I think about, I feel like that's almost like icebreaker fare. It's like, what's the best Christmas gift you received as a kid? And I'm like, I can think of something. But like, when I think of the best things about Christmas growing up, I think about like that one time we borrowed our family friend's RV and parked it in the front yard and ordered Chinese food and watched A Christmas Story. And I'm like, that was legitimately one of the best like holidays I have had or will ever have, because it was weird and different. And there's something about holidays being like, on holidays, kind of like all bets are off, anything can happen, there's like magic in the air, and we're in an RV in the park in the driveway, and for some reason as a kid you're like, this is amazing. Or when you finish opening up all the presents and you're just in this like wrapping paper ocean, and then grandpa starts a like wrapping paper snowball fight, and then that becomes a tradition every year where everyone starts throwing paper at each other. And it's like, I remember that more than the feeling I had when I opened that Beanie Baby or whatever.
Which Beanie Baby? Yeah.
Well, it was a Princess Diana, so never mind. I remember that one.
Crap, you had that one? Yeah.
I think one of the things that we've been trying to be better at is thinking of a holiday not as like a day or even as like a tradition or an event or any of that, but thinking of a holiday as like a vibe. Like thinking about, I think kids can sort of feel things and sense things. Maybe even more than they can like retain information that you give to them. And so it's one thing to say, this is what this holiday is really about. It's not actually about presents. But then if the whole day sort of builds to presents, and then very obviously that's the thing that like you're giving the most time and attention to, no matter what you say to that kid, what they're going to retain is like, well, this is about presents. This is the highlight of everything. And obviously the whole day built to this moment, but we've been trying to think about holidays as like a vibe where it's like, okay, like for us, like Christmas is really important to us. And so it's like, okay, well, what are the things that make Christmas Christmas? And it's like, well, we just want the house to feel like warm and peaceful and inviting. And we, you know, we want the house to be full of love. And, you know, we have these other things that are really important to us. And it's like, okay, well then the only way that these things are going to like seep into our kids, they're really going to get it, is it's like osmosis. Like it's just going to be like repetition, and whatever traditions we build, how do they like reinforce that vibe that we're trying to create as a family? Because I think when you look back, you actually do sort of remember like, yeah, there was this thing that was really cool, this thing that really happened, but I just remember how it felt. And it felt a certain type of way. And that's you know, why I remember Christmas fondly, or that's why I remember that Thanksgiving was stressful, or that's why whatever I remember is like the feel in the house. And so we're just trying to be more conscious of a holiday as a vibe and what we can do to make sure that that vibe is, that we're really intentional about that.
I have no memory of ever, as a child, believing or thinking that Santa was real.
Really?
I just don't have it. And maybe my mom might be like, no, you thought it until you were 12. Like that might be a thing, but like I just have no memory of that at all. And so the natural outgrowth of that has been that we have kids, I'm just not that big on protecting Santa. And it's not like I'm doing it willfully, but like I just don't think about that kind of stuff. But here's the thing is Amy does think about that stuff a lot. And so she has, we'll be at Target and she'll buy specific wrapping paper that'll be the wrapping paper that's Santa.
Okay. That's Santa's paper.
Because also, I should say this, our daughter, Atlee, is a detective and she will figure it out. Like, wait a second, hold on. But I realize that Amy does not want to ruin Santa for the kids, but I just, it is not at the forefront of my mind at all. And so I am constantly teetering to the edge
of messing it up.
I can't wait. I will say something like, she'll talk about a doll. I'm like, yeah, yeah, no, we got that for you. And she'll go, and Amy will be like, no, 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 Santa got that for her. And I'll be like, oh, yeah, no, Santa. That's what I meant.
I don't know if that's going to be the thing for me. It'll be if I'm really excited for somebody to get a gift if I know they're going to love it. And I found just like the best thing for them. And the idea of Santa getting credit for that gift versus me getting credit. Maddening. That's where I'm kind of like, do I want to do that? Maybe like, Santa can get him something that's okay.
Santa can give him the toothbrush. Dad got in the remote control
car. I want to hook them up. I do not want Santa to hook them up.
So on the Santa thing, like, not to be like a killjoy here, and honestly, I guess I'm not being a killjoy, because if you want to do Santa with your family, I think that's great. The part that like feels really weird to me is like fundamentally Santa is lying to your kids. Like it's looking them right in the eyes and it's telling them something that is not true. And I didn't have a really traumatic experience finding out that Santa wasn't real, but I know a lot of people that did. And I'm kind of just like, I don't see the upside. And that sounds really high horsey and judgmental. And it sounds, but like, I legitimately think if you want to do Santa with your kids, you can. Like, we did Santa in our family and it was fine. But
because it doesn't sound like you had that experience of like, mom and dad lied to me.
No, I was like 3 years old and I saw them wrapping presents on Christmas Eve that like said Santa on them. And I immediately ran into the bedroom and ruined it for Andy and our cousin Michelle. And I was like, hey guys, wake up. Guys. Santa's not real. Anyway, I gotta go to bed.
This is the most Kevin Mattson story
ever. It is.
So, like, I don't know. It's like where we've landed with Santa is we talk about how Santa is like Barney or Mickey or any other thing where it's like, it's really fun. It's like, Santa's like Batman. Like, it's fun and it's fun.
But this is where you landed with your kids? Yeah. So your kids all know at this point?
My kids all know that Santa's not real. Okay. And if you're listening to this podcast, and your kids know my kids, I'm sorry, they're going to ruin it for your kids.
Gideon, for sure.
Like, we've talked to them a lot about trying to explain the dynamic. Like, some kids think this is real and you can't talk about it, but they're going to. There's nothing I can do about it. It's going to happen. I'm sorry. One of the other things that's just tough about the holidays in general, and it seems like it just, like, magnifies with kids, is just how, like, busy and stressful everything is. Like, we say things like, you know, the holidays are about just like special time with family. But then what we actually do is like the holidays are about making sure that we don't disappoint any of our extended family and that anyone that has any expectation of us, that we make sure that we meet that and that we're going to be here on time. And then we have to make sure that we look really nice.
Everybody's super well behaved.
Here's these 10 Christmas traditions that we have to check off the list.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it becomes like busy, rush, stress.
It doesn't also become like, isn't this the time of year where a lot of people visit back home? Like they're back home in Livermore. And now that's added pressure. It's almost like,
I got to see everybody.
Yeah. I have a 1 week period that's going to be compressed and we're going to have to meet up with everyone. They all want to see my kid. They want to see how much our kids have grown. And yeah.
So, yeah, I think one of the challenges that we have as dads is like what can we do to make sure that the choices that we're making about the way we spend our time contribute to like the needs of our specific family? And like in a weird way, one of the things that we want to do better as a family is like be selfish, for lack of a better word, where it's like, hey, we're getting to the point now where like, our family is a family. And like we're transitioning from like, well, we're the kids in the family and like sort of what matters is like whatever everybody else is doing. And my identity at Christmas is as a son. And I need to make sure that my parents are happy and your parents are happy and everybody's great. And that's not to say that we don't want to spend so much time with our extended family. Of course we do. Our extended family is awesome. But there's this other unit now, which is just the five of us. And it's like, well, what is our Christmas?
We're gonna break off from the pack sometimes and do our own thing sometimes, right?
And that just has to be okay because we have to create our own unit, our own family traditions, our own holiday. And rather than my entire holiday being with my brothers and my parents, it's like, and that being what Christmas is, now that's part of what Christmas is. And another part of what Christmas is making sure that me and my wife and my kids have our own version of Christmas. Mm-hmm. And part of that is sort of by necessity, like kind of letting other people down and saying like, yeah, I know that if you had your perfect Christmas, maybe this is how we would spend our time. And we're going to do our best to meet as much of that need as we can. But we got this whole other responsibility now that we got to do.
Yeah, if I'm being honest, I think me and Amy, I think we still kind of struggle with that a little bit. Is like you always talk about like the crushing weight of expectations, and never is that more than Christmas time, the holiday season. Is everybody has expectations, and it intensifies when you have kids. They want to spend time with your kids. They want to experience Christmas with your kids, just like you're experiencing Christmas with your kids. There's a certain point where you have to kind of go like, no, I'm really sorry, but no.
Yeah, totally.
Like, we're going to stay home. Or like, no, we're not going to that holiday party.
Yeah, totally.
That sounds like a nightmare.
We're not going to go to that work thing. We're not going to go to our Friendsgiving or like whatever the thing is. It's like at a certain point, the more things you do, it makes everything else worse. Like with a certain amount of things on the calendar, everything can be great. And then every single thing you add to the calendar makes every single other thing worse and more stressful. Guys, can I just vent for a second about how bummed I am that Hey Dad isn't launching before Christmas?
Right?
Whose
fault is that?
There was somebody we could blame for this.
I know, right?
There was a dad in the room.
Because it's like...
Who was the CEO of that company anyway?
Because it's like the entire problem we're trying to solve is that dads don't have enough stuff to do with their kids. Mm-hmm. It's really hard to buy stuff for dads. And this whole holiday season, there's just like so much consumerism and buying kids stuff that they're really only going to enjoy for 25 minutes and then forget about it. And then, you know, all these toys that you're going to be buying for your kids that like maybe they're fun for their kids, but it's not that fun for you. And gosh, like not launching before Christmas, not having something where like I wish what I was saying right now on this podcast is like, go to heydad.com and buy.
We got your Christmas shopping.
The best gift ever for any dad in your life. Mm. And it just makes me want to pull my hair out if I wasn't already 95% bald.
Does this light a fire underneath you for like next Christmas? Like, do you go like this time next year? Like, we're going to be in overdrive and we're going to do so much because I never want to feel this way again.
No, 100%. Like, I cannot wait for Father's Day, for Christmas to be able to present something to everybody that's like, hey, this fits into the type of Christmas that you want to have. This fits into the type of holiday that you want to have. Whatever you're celebrating, I'm sure that what you want as a part of that is like amazing memories and quality time with your kids and like actual fun that you are having instead of just like watching your kid have fun or like trying to play with your kid with the toy that they got that after 5 or 10 minutes, you know, either you can't figure out how to put it together or it's broken or it's boring or whatever the issue is. I'm so excited to bring to this podcast and to annoyingly to probably like every social media outlet that you're all on, just spamming you guys with the message of like, hey, there's a better way to do this and Hey Dad can help.
All right, so this is a brand new segment called Holiday Hot Takes where we're just gonna give really strong opinions, sometimes positive, sometimes negative, about things that take place during the holidays.
Great, I'm gonna start. Is eggnog good?
No.
Yes!
Eggnog's garbage.
Well, if you add some, like, whiskey, it's delicious by itself.
Is eggnog good?
No, the idea of eggnog is bad. The execution of eggnog is bad.
What is eggnog?
It's like eggs plus mayonnaise plus milk. That's what it is in my brain.
Oh, gosh.
I before I met Kelly, that was, like, the P-E-N, like pre-eggnog era of my life, pen.
Pre-nog.
And then now I'm post-eggnog, which is also pen, which is a very unhelpful. But I didn't used to like it. Now I like it.
I'm into it. Sarah and I, it's a thing.
Okay.
Elf on a shelf.
Creepy.
It's he sees you when you're sleeping, he knows when you're awake. That lyric about Santa, that's creepy. And now it's applied to this elf. And it's just one more tradition that parents have to keep up with. It's just like, there's already enough going on during this holiday, and then I also have to manage this every single day? No.
It feels like it kind of accentuates the worst part of the whole, like, Santa narrative, which is the, like, you better behave, or otherwise else. You won't earn my love.
Well, with both parts. It's like, you better behave, and it's also, I'm always watching.
Yeah.
Our holiday Christmas, like, coffee/espresso drinks good. I'm talking specifically pumpkin spice lattes, but I'll even go peppermint mocha.
Gingerbread, whatever. The new gingerbread one
they got. Are they good?
No. They're not good.
Not at all.
Nope. They're only good because they're scarce, and they're only good because of marketing.
Here's what I would say. Nostalgia and sentimentality are very powerful. And if something is nostalgic or sentimental, it becomes good in my mind. So if something feels selective, like a Shamrock Shake, I'm like, this is awesome. Because I love, like, the Irish magic people, of, and you're like, also very, seasonal celebrations.
You're also very aware you can't get it. It's like the McRib.
Oh, I'm 100% realizing that I'm the target demographic of every, like, seasonal advertised gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm cool with it.
It's just like I'm right there with you, except then I drink it and it doesn't taste good.
Is Elf good?
Yes. No, yes. Derek.
I'm not saying one thing or the other. I've enjoyed Elf 2.
Mm-hmm.
Is Elf...
Okay, Elf, wait, Elf 2?
Is Elf 2? Is it out?
Yeah,
is
it Elf 2? Called Elf 2, : Die Hard.
No, I should rephrase that. Not is Elf good. Is Elf as good as we have been led to believe?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I would say that Elf stands alone, other than the Jim Carrey Grinch, which kind of feels like it doesn't count because it's like basically a remake.
I feel like none of you guys agree with Kevin about the Jim Carrey Grinch, and you're afraid to say it.
Oh no, I think it's so good.
It's so good.
But what I was gonna say is Elf and Jim Carrey's Grinch are like the only two Christmas movies in the last 20 years that I feel like have like found their way into Christmas classics category.
Oh, sure, sure.
There's
like
three
maybe
pieces.
Not since Home Alone.
There's is three there pieces another? Of content that have been created in the last 20 years that will stand the test of time.
Michael Bublé's Christmas album.
Oh, actually, four. Michael Bublé's Christmas album.
Okay.
Elf.
Jim Carrey's
Christmas. Jim Carrey's Christmas. And Mariah Carey, All I Want for Christmas Is You.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
The only modern classic Christmas carol.
Christmas pajamas, don't get it. Felt pajamas that are like big and boxy and kind of like hang a little bit too low. Always weird. I always get pajamas for Christmas and I'm always like, I don't want these.
Here's a hot take. My mom's feelings are hurt now.
Right? This instant.
Well, you guys know me. I don't like ranting. Not a ranter. But I want to get real with you guys for a second. It's something I've been thinking about. There is no such thing as good Christmas television anymore. And by a good Christmas television, I mean... Think back to your favorite sitcom, whatever. There were always, like, Christmas episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Christmas episodes used to be an event, though, right? I mean, they were breaks with narrative and tone. They were warm. They were cheerful. They had a message. And they almost all included a stranger who the main character encounters who may or may not be Santa. That's the real thing. Almost every Christmas episode did that.
Yeah, totally.
But not anymore. It doesn't happen anymore. It makes me sick. Seriously, I get so freaking mad when Atlee wants to watch an episode of Elaine of Avalor and there's not one mention of the birth of Jesus. Not one mention. But it didn't used to be like this, guys.
Thanks,
so
corporate America.
I started racking my brain about like the holiday episodes I remember. And they are burned into my brain. And so I just wanted to throw out a couple and see if you guys remember this one. Frasier. Remember Frasier?
Niles.
The episode of Frasier where Niles and Daphne discover that a Christmas mummy is buried underneath KACL. And they sacrifice rowdy sports talk show host Bulldog to the ancient Egyptian god Bennu. Bennu being, of course, the creator deity most often depicted as a bird.
Of course.
I believe that this is also the birthplace of the famous quote, "Well, Niles, I'll tell you what, seeing as how Cupid has so amply stocked my quiver this holiday season, I shall try and shine on your behalf. The immortal god Bennu thirsts for heart and flesh tonight. And we must deny him, for I have heard the eternal blues of doomed humanity a-calling. Tossed salad and scrambled eggs." Such a good episode.
Okay.
Do you guys remember the episode of Scrubs? Where JD accidentally lights Sacred Heart Hospital on fire. It's great. He's trying desperately to avoid Dr. Cox, who, I don't want to spoil too much here, is kind of being a grump about something. That something being that the hospital is on fire and in danger of being burned to the ground. Also, Turk finds a missing pregnant woman and he and Elliot help deliver her baby. Performing a miracle, helping restore Turk's faith in Christmas. It's great. Also, Kelso, Dr. Kelso, is accused by the state of California of murdering a hitchhiker 30 years ago, which leads to some pretty hilarious misunderstandings. Here's the cool thing about this episode, too. this episode was great because there were a few really abrupt shifts in tone, like from humor to really unearned drama, and that was really unlike Scrubs. But they did it, and they really pulled it off for the Christmas episodes. There's also the episode of Will and Grace, where the gang inherits a hollowed out Applebee's from which to run Karen's toy drive. But they watch in horror as it becomes sort of a fight club for the local youths. Jack was hilarious in this one. At least I think. Full disclosure, I was not allowed to watch Will and Grace because we had one TV and my dad always wanted to watch Jag. Speaking of Jag, you don't know this, but Jag has a great holiday episode in which two elves are accused of selling weapons to Chechenian rebels. And they're represented in court by young hotshot judge advocate Harmon Rabb. Now, the guests in this episode, they're incredible. You got Sinbad. You got Chris Kattan. You got the Christian Baldwin brother. You got the dog from Family Guy. You got a brisket sandwich that an intern has glued googly eyes on. You got Nancy Reagan, Anthony Bourdain, television financial analyst Jim Cramer after six whiskey and cokes. You got an orangutan in a sailor suit and noted professional wrestling star Bobby the Brain Heenan. It was incredible. So if there are any professional showrunners out there, and I know you're listening, I just want to offer two words of advice. Virtually risk-free. A, give Michael Richards from Seinfeld his own comeback show. The man suffered enough, and he's really funny.
What could go wrong?
And B, start making great Christmas episodes again. I'll be patiently waiting for someone to take me up on this suggestion. I'm looking specifically at you, Dan Fogelman, creator of This Is Us. Stop trying to make America laugh. Start trying to make us feel something.
Oh, thank you so much.
So, behind the scenes, originally every single episode has something to do with Egyptian deity. And at a certain point, I'm reading it to Amy, and Amy goes, only you think this is funny. It's like, Turk and Kelsey run into so-and-so. One of them was like, so-and-so. The son of Ra, who was responsible for all cosmic ordering, and Amy was like, pause. This is not funny. I'm like, this is hilarious!
All right, that's it for this episode of the Hey Dad podcast. A few things, as always, we would love for you to do. Go to heydad.com and sign up with your email address so that we can keep you in the loop as we get closer and closer to launching this thing. Also, we would love it if you would share this podcast with a friend. Obviously, subscribe yourself and rate and review and do all of that. But if you like it, if we made you laugh, if you learned anything, I would be, first of all, I'd be suspect of whatever it is you think you learned. But second of all, tell a friend so that more and more people can hear about what we're doing here. And that's it. But before we go, Tyler, will you tell us a little bit about what we can look forward to on the next episode of the Hey Dad podcast?
Yeah, it's going to be great. The Ghost of Christmas Future and Frosty the Snowman actually are both going to be with us to talk about global warming.
Well, that's all for the Hey Dad podcast. I'm Kevin.
I'm Tyler.
I'm Andy.
I'm Derek.
Love you. Bye.